Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Last week in our study of Nahum chapter 1, I was talking about a book that was given to me by a visitor to my church that helped me to see the way the American church was going. Let's pick up there as we start the week today. The Burden of Nineveh, the Book of the Vision of Nahum, the Elkoshite. Now, right off the bat, we see that the burden of Nineveh is big, it's strong, and it's the burden is of Nineveh, not God. Again, the burden is of Nineveh, not God. Because this is a book of judgment. The people of Nineveh made a choice. And since the day of Jonah, they had gone back to the previous ways of their fathers 150 years earlier. Now, those are things for which God's judgment almost fell in Jonah's day and would have had that preacher not came and preached to them. But now they've gone back to it. And by the way, God held this Nineveh responsible for their actions. Don't blame your sin and your actions on other people, your parents, or other people of your past. Take personal responsibility, because every one of us shall give an account of himself unto God. No one is going to stand in your place when that day comes. Now, the thing about Nineveh of this day is they were a very hedonistic society with a hedonistic religion. In other words, they made everything entertaining. Now, back in the 1980s, a man visited our church and found out later he was a TV reporter for a station down in Orlando. But he gave me a book, and he said, "Pastor, read this book. It'll be a big help to you." Well, he was right. It helped me to see the direction of the American church that it was going. I knew that this country was headed for trouble. The book was a call for Christian hedonism. Be a fun church. Now, I don't think that the reporter that gave that to me wanted me to realize that and start warning the people and preaching about it, but I did. Now, hedonism is the philosophy of the pursuit of pleasure in all of our endeavors. We will be more successful if we fill our lives and our religion with the pursuit of hedonism. Well, actually, something like that was the forerunner of Rick Warren's local church policy that we call contemporary, and which has evolved from that to the emerging church. I find it interesting today that some of the contemporary church people are now upset with the emerging church because they're stealing their members. Okay. And so why? Because they're a whole lot more liberal than the contemporary church in their worship of God and their activity in the areas of doctrine. Now, I think of that in this hedonistic society and those kind of illustrations. I remember evangelist Dr. Ron Comfort. Now, what a blessing he's been to me over the years. But he told me of a pastor who claims to be a fundamentalist. Now, many of you would know his name if I told you right now. If I told you his name, you'd say, "Oh, that's hard to believe." But he told a group of preacher boys the two most influential books that he read were Chuck Swindoll's Laugh Again and Rick Warren's 40 Days of Purpose. Okay. Well, that just really fell in with the hedonistic society that we're in today, and the way that you've seen the churches now, they go half-dressed. They go there because that appeals to men's eyes out there when they see the women up there shaking their bodies in various ways, very sensual ways, and they're singing, and parts of their body are being shown, and they're supposed to be singing to God, but they don't realize the God they're singing to is another Jesus, but not the God of the Bible. But they get out there and they do that, and that appeals to the sensuality of men watching, and it appeals to the ladies who are getting attention. And then being able to dress down, perhaps attract other people's attention. And all of that is make me feel good, make me feel relaxed. And it's as if church was built and ordained by God to give you great sensual feelings instead of for you to have an opportunity to worship a holy God and hear his word proclaimed with other people of God at the same time. Now, sin is a choice that one makes. You are tempted, perhaps, but you're not forced. So sin is a choice that you make. And it tries to sell that sin to others as right for what good it might accomplish. The advertisement I get from the contemporary and emerging people that are in the marketing end of it, and that's what it is marketing. So what I get from these religious marketers is do this because it will draw people in. I knew of a church that was having sales of tickets to the local theaters, or not sales, they're giving them away free to go to the local theater. If you'll just come to their church and visit, he'd give you a free ticket to the local theater. You and your whole family. What's planned at the theater? What are they going to watch? And you're trying to reach unsaved people. What do unsaved people watch at a theater? But you see, trying to appeal to the flesh. And yet, when we're calling them to repentance, isn't those fleshly things the sins of the flesh as well? You see, and what happens, it's just like Marxism and Islamic teaching. When you look at the contemporary, these religious marketers, and that is the end justifies the means. Now, I can remember when I was taking Americanism versus Communism in high school, we were taught about Karl Marx. Karl Marx, who is the father of communism, and that's why we say Marxism, he wrote in his writings, the end justifies the means. If you have to lie, if you have to deceive, whatever you have to do, then do it to accomplish your end. Now, that eliminates the strength of the truth since their teachings diametrically oppose truth. John 17:17, Jesus said, thy word is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. And so we are set apart for God through the truth of God's word. There's no error. God's word, God's truth is absolute. It is always truth in all ages, and it's always pure. It's never wrong. And so when we think of the truth of God, what a person's saying when they do these other things of the flesh, they're saying, I don't believe that the very Holy Ghost of God is strong enough to overcome the world. I don't think the Holy Ghost, God, his word is strong enough to overcome these things. So they need us to step in and make a difference. That is blasphemy. You say, well, they don't say that. No. But their actions do. And so they try to justify themselves, just like in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, which states, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, if these things of today didn't seem, well, it has a good purpose in it, and it's not what I like, but it seems to be getting people to come and so forth, it must be all right, I guess. Well, see, if it didn't seduce, if it wasn't deceiving, men of this world and carnal Christians wouldn't be seduced and deceived. You see, Satan is a cunning enemy that we have. who will seek to deceive, because the Bible lets us know that he's a deceiver and that he's a liar. So Satan uses these things to bring people to falseness, making them think that they are honoring Christ in order to be a slap in the face of God as far as he's concerned, and to keep them from the holy God that they need. Now, the Holy Spirit is calling them to repentance. But they instead reject his conviction with their corrupted logic. By the way, 2 Timothy 3 shows the hedonistic contemporary philosophy of the last days local church. Now, you've heard me preach perhaps on various things. For an example, I've used Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, speaking of the Russian coalition that comes during the tribulation. And I've told you how many of those things are coming together. We've talked about the coalition of nations under the Antichrist. We've talked about various signs of the last days, Israel back in the land. And so, and a lot of people get excited and say, oh yeah, yeah, we see it. It's happening right before us. But what they don't see is right there, it's closest to them, and there's more said about it, is that one of the great signs of the last days before the rapture is the contemporary philosophy, the worldly philosophy, the marketing philosophy that goes into the local church. And what is one of the first things they want to do? They want to get rid of our Bible. Why does 40 Days of Purpose need 16 different translations of the Bible to try to prove its point? Why do they have to use Bibles and so forth that has text from those corrupted texts, those critical texts that are very corrupted, when the majority of texts are the Textus Receptus for the New Testament? And we see the Masoretic text as well. So why do they have to find something else? And you say, well, you know, the King James is hard to understand. Yes, it is. It was written on a fifth grade education. So if your education doesn't reach up to the fifth grade level, then maybe it is hard to understand. Now, if you'll read through some of those Bibles, which I don't recommend doing, you'll find out that they're not as clear as the King James is. So, people who say that the reason for not using the King James is because it's not easily understood are people who obviously are very ignorant and lack the capacity educationally to understand the Bible. But you know what? Well, you got to have the Holy Ghost. No matter if all the words were just one and two syllable words, you still have to have the Holy Ghost teach it to you as you read it, because he's the author of it and he can give you what he meant by each and every word of it. So the burden here is the burden of Nineveh, and the burden is their sin.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.